Captain, welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
You hear that, Earth? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! We're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one audio source for Harry Potter news, theories, discussion, as well as info straight from the makers of the books and films themselves, like me, Matt Lewis. I play Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter films, and I'm very happy to be here helping introduce your hosts, the Pottercast trio, Melissa, John, and Sue.
Completely overwhelmed with Order of the Phoenix trailers, this is Pottercast 87.
Ow.
Welcome. I'm Melissa. I'm here as usual with John and Sue, and one very special return guest, our friend from DarkHorizons.com, Garth.
Yeah.
Peace.
Yay! Garth. We drag Garth into the spotlight whenever there's a movie thing to talk about or a significant.
Not whenever there's a trailer around.
Yeah.
I'm around.
Yeah. Trailer. It's always trailer talk with Garth on Pottercast. So. This week we have a fan interview for you, and then the rest of the whole show is about these two gigantic trailers. Only Harry Potter fans could take 5 minutes of film and talk about it for weeks.
Yeah.
So, before we get to that, let's hear from our friends at Borders, because they are sponsoring us.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Borders. It won't be long before the much-anticipated release of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Do you have your mind made up about where Severus Snape's loyalties lie? Do you think he'll betray Harry and his friends, or will he help them triumph over he who must not be named? Find out about this more complex character in the new hot book, The Great Snape Debate, available only at Borders. Remember to reserve Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows at Borders to save 40%.
Couple of quick announcements, as usual. Phoenix Rising is coming very, very soon. Phoenix Rising is a convention that we'll be doing a live Pottercast at May 17th in New Orleans, New Orleans. We're so excited. Can't wait to see you there. We'll be doing something with Habitat for Humanity there. We might have some spots open. We'll let you know about that soon. During our live Pottercast at Phoenix Rising will be Matt of the Whomping Willows and... No, I'm sorry. Matt, who is the Whomping Willows? One day I will
every
get
time.
That. Brian. Every time. Oh, he's so funny. Brian of Draco and the Malfoys is also... They're both performing acoustic sets. Very exciting. After our live podcast, we're going to open a room somewhere around there in the convention hall. All the people who are in Wizard Rock bands are going to come with their acoustic guitars, and we're going to sit on the floor and rock out. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we will see you there. Vote for us on Podcast Alley. Vote for us on Dig. Go to HarryPotter7.com and read about Deathly Hallows and donate to our Last Books, First Books charity drive, which goes on from now through July 21st. In other charity drive news, you can donate to you can become a part of the Wizard Rock EP of the Month Club and get 12 CDs over the next year and have all your money go to charity. Also, cheap rent. Oh, that's WizardRockClub.com. You can also buy a CD called Wizards and Muggles Rock for Social Justice, which is being put out by the organization Cheap Rent at myspace.com/cheaprent. Features original music from a ton of Harry Potter bands, and it all goes to benefit the Harry Potter Alliance. Now, that's it,
yeah.
Right? Are we done with our announcement?
I think so.
People are sitting there tapping their fingers,
yeah.
Waiting for us to move on.
Yep.
I think it's time to hear from Sue for
I want some news, Sue.
Oh, just think. Let's see. It's one for the domestic, two for the international, three for the video games. New Order of the Phoenix trailers, we go, go, go. Yes, that's right. Over the past week or so, Harry Potter fans have been treated to three brand new trailers, all relating in some form or another to the upcoming Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix movie. Coming up in our podcast, we will be discussing in detail the new domestic trailer. However, you can find links to watch these trailers, amazing high res screen caps, and much more via our video and image galleries. In other film-related news now, Warner Brothers has now launched a Join Dumbledore's Army website in relation to the movie, where you can see some additional photos, there's icons, MySpace layouts, and you can even train in defense against the dark arts. All quite fun. In addition, WB also released a slew of high-res stills from the trailer, as well as new behind-the-scenes photo of director David Yates on the set with many of the actors from the movie. And there's the new official one-sheet poster that shows members of the DA and sports the words, "The Rebellion Begins." You can find all of these in our image galleries. Imelda Staunton is the subject of a new interview with Time magazine that dubs her portrayal as Professor Umbridge of one of the summer movie villains, so bad it's good. And finally, a new interview appeared in an Italian magazine, Donna, with actress Emma Watson, who discusses her role as Hermione Granger. She also says of Hermione and Ron Weasley, quote, their relationship will develop somehow sooner or later. They will become a couple, I'm sure. Ron amuses her, which is what Hermione needs, and she keeps him in line. A perfect couple, end quote. Well, if you weren't excited by all this news, TLC has also been able to confirm that, in fact, the UK premiere of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix will take place in London, England on July 3rd. And if you can't make it over to the UK, then the next week a trip to Hollywood might be in order, as the US premiere of the film will take place in Los Angeles, California on July 8th. We will have more info on these premieres, as well as one in Japan on June 28th, as we get it. Turning to book news now, UK publishers Bloomsbury revamped their Harry Potter website with new layouts, including a focus on that mysterious symbol seen on the spine of the children's cover artwork. You will hear later on that fans may want to ponder on that symbol in particular. You can also see in our galleries a new high-res image of the special edition of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows from Bloomsbury, which will be released on July 21st. Finally, a portrait of Joe Rowling, first revealed in England, has made its way over here to the U.S. now for a new exhibit at the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C. Fans can see a portrait of our favorite author as part of an exhibit called Great Britain's Treasures from the National Portrait Gallery, London, which features some 60 of the finest portraits and photographs of the most significant British figures of the past 500 years. That sounds cool. The exhibit runs now through September 3rd. Phew, busy week indeed. So for more detail on all of these things and all things Harry Potter, you can always find it at leakynews.com, which is updated daily.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the trailer pretty much the entire show. So what other stuff do you think we should break down right now, too?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just want to say quickly that Bloomsbury, the UK publishers of the Harry Potter novels, has updated their website, and if you haven't checked it out, it's very interesting. We saw a new photo of the special edition of the book, which is going to be released on July 21st, and we also would like to point out the interesting layout to the Bloomsbury thing, which has a focus on that rune. That little rune that's on the spine of the books.
Which a spokesperson said to us, I don't even think we put it in the news post, but a spokesperson said that it is apparently very significant. So, there you go, guys. Get theorizing. Because, wow.
Hi. It's all very interesting. It's funny because I like the way she did the layout. They did the layout. They made it look like a Potter press and your wizarding thing. I thought it was kind of cute. So, it's fun. Go check it out. Neat. But what is that room?
Is there any other news besides...
I want to say that congratulations go to Joe, who has been named the Wired Rave Award winner for Wired magazine. And we saw a new photo of Joe, and she looks fabulous. She's out in her garden, and she just looks great. And Alfonso Cuarón was also named a winner, which is pretty good.
Joe in her garden.
What did he win?
Well, he was in that same Wired magazine, which is... very popular technology magazine. And also, there's one more thing about Mr. Radcliffe, which there's this program here, for those who do not know, it's called American Idol. Mr. Radcliffe was supposed to appear.
What the heck happened
there? We don't know. We think that it got bumped because of time, because there were other like famous rock stars like Gwen Stefani
and
Pink, who both got knocked off for Jack Black and Ben Stiller, apparently. But I don't know. We don't know what happened.
Ben Stiller. Oh, God.
Just...
Garth, what do you think of Ben Stiller?
You don't want to know my opinion.
Oh, my God.
What
a waste of space.
You know.
No, he was really, really funny. We don't know what happened with Dan. We've asked. Yeah. I'm sure that there'll be some sort of explanation. Right. Anything, you know. He's a busy guy. Yeah.
And one more thing, too, before we get to the trailers, kind of related, that Warner Brothers has now launched a new website called joindoubledoorsarmy.warnerbrothers.com, where you can go learn to practice your spells and become a member of the DA, which is kind of cool, kind of fun. Let's go check that out.
It sort of reminds me of the Golden Compass movie site. Have you guys been
there?
The Philip Pullman
movie? Yeah. It's very nice.
And it tells you to make up your demon. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those sites like the first generation of Harry Potter sites where all pick which house you're in, take a psychology test and you find out what house you're in. And this is, you take a test and you find out what your demon is. And it's all sort of like, there's like four answers or something. and I don't know. It just reminds me of that. I'm not big on the official websites of most films.
What do you think, Garth? Do you like?
They need to advertise. They need to advertise their movies, so they have to do something. It's usually just a nifty little flash presentation to please the studio executives. Yeah.
Well,
Oh, they're pretty neat looking.
Yeah.
They spend a small fortune on a lot of these sort of official sites. Just again, it's just to show there's a presence there rather than really engross viewers.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the only one I really like, I'd have to say, and maybe it's because I'm a big Johnny Depp fan, but I like the Pirates of the Caribbean site. I think that was really well done, and they must have put a lot of money into that. There's a lot of like little things you can go around, little tokens you can get. So I don't know. I'm a little squirrel, and plus I'm a mom, and my little boy likes to go to those things. So
I am a little squirrel.
What does that mean?
I don't know, I'm just a little goof, a little dorky. I don't know.
Oh,
I like to gather these little challenge. Things. I love going to the little websites and have all the little desktops and stuff.
Well, but hey, there's not going to be many of them left. A lot of the websites for movies now are just opting to be MySpace profiles.
Mm.
Wow.
They just put up a MySpace page. That's it. It's a lot cheaper and easier.
I bet, yeah. And everybody's right there on MySpace, so what the heck?
Well, not everybody goes to MySpace. I mean...
No, pretty much the world goes to MySpace.
Well, pretty much.
Not many down here, unfortunately.
No. Really?
You guys on Bebo?
No.
No. MySpace has never really hit big in Australia yet, but it's catching on.
Mm. Oh. Has the internet hit big in Australia yet?
John!
Yeah, it hit a lot.
Send the emails to John!
Oh, I'm going to get bombed by the Vegemite bombs.
No!
Exploding Vegemite in my
box. I'm in the middle of moving, and I was packing up, and I found the Marmite that they gave us in London. And I'm really, it's going to take 5 pounds out of my bag when I move not to have to carry that. So if anybody wants my Marmite, you're welcome to it. Anyway.
Have you tried it?
Does that answer your question?
Pretty much.
Your face, there's a picture of you two trying it. It was rather hilarious. John's face was...
so gross.
So disgusting. Hilarious. I don't understand. There's a lot about British cuisine I don't understand, but the Marmite, bleh. Okay. Hey, we also heard some stuff about IMAX. 3D.
Yes, something.
Crazy big fiery snake's going to be coming right out of the screen.
Yeah, the last 20 minutes are going to be in, I think we talked about this briefly last week, but it is going to be coming out in the last 20 minutes are going to be in 3D, which is just fabulous. I mean,
it's crazy. That's crazy. That's the ministry scene. That's the Voldemort fight. That's all that flying glass, all the water that we saw, that big fiery snake. I mean, oh, dear God, it's going to be great.
Well, we saw certainly some new teasers of that big fiery snake, didn't we, in the last couple days, with the two new trailers.
Well, before we get to that, I have to say something about the IMAX.
Oh. What did you want to say?
I don't know if you guys have seen. Well, first of all, we got the new one sheet, which is the poster.
Yeah,
Harry Potter
cool.
And the Order of the Phoenix. Awesome. You have
little Harry.
The six of them plus Cho in the back. You have
Cho's hanging out.
The circle getting bigger, badass people fighting evil. Right. Okay. All's well and good. Hermione's up front, we're used to that. But very glad to see that Ron's on the other side, right? Okay. Now go look at the IMAX poster.
It's in our everybody. In our galleries. Yes.
Very nice poster, sure.
It's in our galleries. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
There's been some work to a various one portion of the poster. Only one portion of the seven people on that frame. Only one person has had work done to her. That's right. Hermione has gained a lot of fly blonde hair.
Yeah.
And they have cinched her waist and padded her boobs.
Disgraceful.
On the IMAX poster.
Yes.
Oh dear God! You got it. We're going to put them side by side, and you can see it's. Actually, I know somebody who made an animation, and it's shocking.
Yeah. Which we could probably put on podcast.com.
I mean, you know, it's bad enough.
Somebody who runs Vogue is the hell of it.
You think that was it? Vogue Hermione? I don't know.
It's Anna Wintour demanding that, you know.
How do you think?
Well, you know how they usually retouch all those photos, so.
Why would they
put out two different versions of it?
I mean, but there's not a boob, an increase your boob size function on my Photoshop. I don't remember seeing that.
Oh, no.
You'd be surprised. There's a couple of pre-rendered programs that do exactly that.
There.
But they lightened her hair. They made it, flow out wider. I'm watching this animation go right now, and I am completely astounded. I would be so mad if I was Emma Watson.
Well, yeah. I just don't understand why. I mean, if they're going to do something like that, it's like, who was responsible for it, and then why did that not make the final art for both posters?
Exactly.
Because it's like, who's stupid enough to think that it's not going to be noticed?
Right. Yeah, with this level of fans, you know?
And, you know, my thought was, and this is just, I mean, my assumption at how, you know, those departments worked, is that, like, that, you know, they gave the IMAX promotion people the artwork to work with to make their poster, and they had it in you know, such a format where they could individually edit the actors in there, and that's what they chose to do, and it was on IMAX's end.
Quite likely.
But I don't know. But, I mean, it was bad enough. I don't know, Garth, if you remember this, but a few years ago when Prisoner of Azkaban came out, and there was a big whole to-do about Hermione wearing a pink hoodie, you know, which is very stylish and not typically book Hermione. Now, all of a sudden, she's this fab model. I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, she's not.
Yeah.
It's par for the course, unfortunately. I mean, with something like these posters where they alter them, this happens with every poster, airbrushed and so forth, but not to these kind of, you know, with this sort of fandom, watching it this closely, you don't get that kind of change that much. But you'd be surprised, a lot of actresses will say that, you know, my waist is nowhere near that skinny, or the thing that's mostly done is removal of facial pores and moles and everything like that.
Well,
people are so airbrushed on a lot of these things these days.
Yeah, but I mean, I was just shocked by the dramatic. I mean, that's a dramatic body change. That's just. I mean, did they do that to like Tobey Maguire and Spider-Man and stuff? I don't know. It just seems to me it needs to be.
Yeah.
Really, it's not just for the females. It's for the guys too.
Oh, totally. Even more so for the guys. So a lot of them, they have to have special padding on certain things. A lot of the people who pose for those posters, it isn't the star. It's a much, you know, better figured body.
I'm a poster body.
Wow,
that's awesome.
That's got to be a bad job. Hey, I'm a poster double. My face isn't good enough, but my body's great. it's just gross because it reinforces all these negative images that we rail against here. And
totally.
You know, it's you don't. You don't need that with Harry Potter. Yeah,
it's against Joe's messages.
Exactly.
About body images and you know how Hermione is supposed to, you know, symbolize, you know, all that is right and positive role models for girls, and you see, you know, some, you know, pervy promo guy at IMAX corrupt that just because he thinks that would look better on his poster is like, you know, where does he get off, you know?
Yeah,
it's just a lack of respect.
He probably worked for Disney Animation.
Hey, maybe it's just an average.
Well, you know, if you look at The Little Mermaid, if you look at The Lion King, there's all sorts of different things
well,
in there.
That's all over
that's
the place.
True.
Bad. Maybe it's just an advertisement for what happens when you put on 3D glasses. Hermione's boobs get bigger.
That'd be crazy.
You know?
No. You maybe have to put on 3D glasses to see the poster. That way they're right in the right proportion with the glasses on.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, a bit of a stretch, that one.
Outside the boob thing, that's really, it's awesome art. It's great to see them all kind of badass.
Yeah, they look very determined, I have to say. And it was nice to see.
Although, what's with Ginny, though? She looks like, you know, Sigourney Weaver in the Alien movie. Yeah. She really kicks some ass.
I know.
It's about time.
Hey, but you know what? Our Ginny can do the bad bogey hex, man, so she can match Sigourney.
So you think you go.
About she can
time
do that one
great
spell.
Ginny action.
That
one spell.
Crazy.
The only spell she does.
It makes me wonder, like, if, you know, like, she got her hand-me-down spell books from Fred and George, and, like, every other page was torn out except for the bad bogey hex. And that's the one spell that she mastered.
I love that explanation. I think Joe would love that explanation.
But, no, didn't they say she had to learn that just to put up, to stand up to Fred and George? I mean, can you imagine growing up with them as your
boss?
I don't know. It'd be kind of rough.
Seriously, it has to harden you a bit. You have Fred and George picking on you as the only girl.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But it's finally, they need to start bringing Ginny to the forefront, because obviously in the next film, she becomes a serious love interest as opposed to, you know, Cho.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I really didn't want to see Cho in that picture. I know that sounds, I mean, it was nice to see Neville and Luna, but.
Yeah. Well, Cho's there because she gets to kiss him.
Yeah. And for this film, you have to have Cho standing right between Ginny and Harry, because otherwise, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I see that, I guess.
That's a good
thing. I don't know.
Interesting.
Maybe also for the balance, because then there'd be three people on one side and two people on the other.
True.
It'd be weird.
Yeah.
And God bless Matt Lewis and him in that blue sweater and that hairdo.
Oh, that hair. Oh, my.
And his padding, like he told us, that he has to wear fat pads.
You can see that on one of those high-res. We got a whole slew of high-res photos released, you know, from the trailer.
Yeah.
And you can see the padding underneath his shirt. You can see that because the square and the thing coming in.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's just so funny, the whatever agenda they have to make this kid heavier and make Hermione look skinnier. It's like, this, you know, let the kids... It's just, I'm getting grumpy now.
Getting grumpy. I never thought big boobs would get you grumpy, John.
Well, I mean, it's just a matter of this is, you know, Hermione here. This is somebody that we admire and respect, and respect to Emma Watson too. And it's just like, you know, if you know, you want to, you know, if people are going out to try to find, you know, big boobed people on posters, they've got loads of other places to look. You don't need Hermione Granger to do that for you, but maybe I'm crazy.
Well, just wait till you see the snake poster, the cleavage they gave him.
Oh, my. I'm very excited for that. I don't mind snake.
God, you're funny. Okay. I think it's time we get to real trailer talk because we got Gaff here.
Yay!
That's what he's good for.
In the Fan Corner, a one-on-one interview with a new lucky fan each week.
Not me, not Hermione, you.
Hi, Pottercasters. This is Doris Herman. I'm talking to you today, and this is our fan interview. I am very honored to have one of the leaders of the Houston Harry Potter meetup, Jasmine Harrison, is here with me to talk about Perfectus 7. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited too. Being a Houstonian, which I'm really not from, you know, in Houston proper, but I'm close. You guys are doing a huge party for the release. Tell us a little bit about it.
All right. Well, I'm going to call it Perfectus 2007, and it's a huge release party for Book 7, last book in the Harry Potter series. It's bittersweet, but we're going to be having a huge party at the Houston Children's Museum. Wizarding rock bands, everybody's going to be there. It's going to be really cool.
It sounds awesome. And the Houston Children's Museum, I mean, I have to say that as an adult Harry Potter fan, the Houston Children's Museum is not just for children.
Oh, no.
It is definitely, and people who are from Houston, you know that if you're going to go to a great party, it's very elegant. It's very nice. I mean, what a cool place for a party.
I love going there. Like, I don't even, sometimes I have to borrow people's kids to go because I'm just like, I have to go. It's so much fun.
Oh, well, you ready for this? I don't even go with kids sometimes because I just love it. I mean, it's such a cool place, and I think it's awesome that the Children's Museum in Houston is letting you have this party for 2,000 people.
I know.
There.
I'm excited.
I think you're nuts. 2,000 people?
I can do it. I think, like, with enough help, we can really, like, get this thing off the ground. I've got, like, a lot of support, like, online and off from my meetup group. And Monica, she's, like, the member liaison from the Houston Children's Museum. She's actually joined the group because she's so excited.
Okay, so you're going to have the Magic Cauldron, and they're going to have cooking demonstrations?
Actually, we have the author of the Harry Potter cookbook. She's going to be doing cooking demonstrations, recipes from her cookbook. We're really excited. And the Magic Cauldron has just volunteered to do whatever they can for the whole event.
Now, you had said that there might be an auction. Tell us about that.
Well, the Wizarding World Press, the people who make the, you know, predicting the future in Harry Potter, they've actually agreed to donate some of their books that we can auction off as, like, you know, little prize things throughout the night. So that's going to be really cool, too. I'm excited.
Yeah. And I hear that you're going to have a Wizarding Rock Band there. Awesome.
Like, Wizarding Rock Bands from all over have, like, been contacting me on MySpace, things like that. I've contacted Ginny and the Weasleys because they're the ones I really want, so I'm really hoping for them.
So. Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, they sound really cool.
Yeah. That many people, like, what are you going to do if you end up with more than 2,000? Because by the time this comes out, like a gajillion people are going to want to go.
Well, I'm going to beg and plead with the Houston Children's Museum to let me move the event, like, out into, like, the parking lot. Because the parking lot's not very – it's just across the little, like, walkway from the museum. And we could totally set up more booths out there, more, like, bands out there, just more have more people.
Well, is the museum going to allow costumes if people want to come in their Harry Potter clothes?
Of course. I'm, like, already thinking about my costume, but, yeah. Costumes are more than welcome.
What are you going as?
Umbridge. I'm going as Umbridge.
No! You want to be a toad? Oh,
I even have, I have a stamp that I've ordered that I can stamp on people's hands that say I must not tell lies.
That's funny. Well, I have a Bellatrix costume, so that's, like, my standard costume to wear.
Everyone says, I don't know if this is a compliment, but that I kind of remind them of Umbridge. So, I think I'm going to go with her.
That's awesome, though. I mean, Umbridge is, that's just awesome.
She's like deliciously evil.
She is. In a weird way.
Yeah, weird toad-like way.
Now, are you going to have books there, or what are you trying to arrange for books? Because at midnight, everybody's going to either run out the door, or you're going to have books there for people to read.
Okay, I know that the Houston Children's Museum are authorized to sell books, so I want to have maybe we can are able to like sell books through them. They more than likely will have a connection through Scholastic, so I'm going to see if I can bring the books in and then have the books sold through the Houston Children's Museum.
That is cool. And the good thing about the Children's Museum, too, is that it's kind of a party place for people of all ages. So it's I was looking at it online. It is handicap accessible, which is awesome for people who need a little extra room to move around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then there's places for little guys to run and play and jump, so you don't have to, you know, stand there and not touch anything.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect for, like, the whole family, because I was considering, like, the art museum, and I realized that may even bore me. So this is just, like, really great for the entire family. So.
Yeah. Now, how many people do you have in your meetup to help you with this? Because you're going to need a huge group of helpers.
Right now, I have maybe, like, 4 or 5. So that's, they've been doing a lot. They've helped me a lot. But what I want to do is maybe the first weekend of May do a citywide call for volunteers. People who'd like to help with sponsorships, sanctioning from Warner Brothers and Scholastic, like little goodie bags, things that we can collect from around the community. So I think at the beginning of May, I will be putting together a citywide call for volunteers.
That is just awesome. And you know, Houston is such a great town for this kind of event that you're gonna have lots of people helping you.
I'm excited. I know. I'm kind of worked with like volunteers from Houston before, and everyone's just so energetic. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Now you guys are gonna be at Phoenix Rising too, trying to get some help, right?
We are gonna have our rendezvous on Friday at Cafe Dumont in the morning. I think it's either 10 or 11, but we should be printed in the program.
Awesome. Well, now, since we're talking about the release party, let's talk a little bit about the book. What do you think is going to happen in the 7th book? Just give me some of your predictions.
Okay. Everyone's going to hate me, but I kind of think that Snape is bad. Why not? I mean, they say that Dumbledore trusts Snape, but maybe Dumbledore trusts Snape to do the wrong thing.
Oh, that's kind of a neat way to look at it. Not really neat as in I agree with you, because, you know, I don't want people to hate me, but neat as in interesting.
So I'm really like, I mean, Snape is the perfect villain. He's the perfect, like, can he be redeemed or not? He's a perfect, like, Gollum-esque character. And so I really think that he could just be all bad. And that Dumbledore was looking for a man who'd, like, you know, off him so that would give Harry a clear path to do what he needs to do. Because if Dumbledore was there, Harry would always have that person to lean on. And not be able to reach his full potential, which is to destroy Voldemort.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think Harry's going to make it through the end of the series and live? Or do you think that Harry's going to pass through the veil and go visit his parents?
You know, at the beginning, I thought that Harry would live. And then when I read that she was setting up helplines, I'm kind of worried for him. I'm kind of worried.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may come down to the fact that he himself is a Horcrux and will have to destroy, or someone will have to destroy him in order, you know, to bring good to all humanity, because it's been said he's got that saving people complex, so that may be what it's for. So, that's my prediction.
That's your prediction there. So you think Umbridge will be in the last book?
I don't know. I kind of hope so. I mean, she made me angry. Like, she was the one who just, like, made my blood boil in the fifth book, but she's just, like, I don't know. She brings that out into me, so I love her as a character. So, and one of our members, Mika, actually thinks that the Mirror of Erised and the Veil are connected. So that maybe the Mirror of Erised is a portal into behind the Veil. So we'll have to wait and see on that.
That's interesting. She needs to write an essay.
I know. I've been telling her. I was like, this is an awesome theory. So.
Yeah, that's very cool, Mika. Get to that. We expect that very soon. I know a couple of Scribulous editors who would be, you know, all over that one. That sounds good. Very good. Well, tell me, in your meetup, what are some of the things you guys talk about? Because I know I've been to one of your meetings. It was a lot of fun. I'm actually a member of the Houston Harry Potter meetup group. So what are some of the things that people in the group are talking about might happen in the next book?
Let's see. Like I said, there's been a lot of Veil talk. They're also thinking, it's a general kind of consensus that Harry is a Horcrux.
What about shipping? Does anybody think that Ron and Hermione will finally kiss?
You know, I think we're kind of, like, gagged out on the shipping. We've got some interesting, Laura actually has some very interesting theories about Harry and Snape. We have a lot of Snape and other people kind of shipping going on.
I don't want to know.
Yeah. No, you don't want to know. We kind of venture down that road sometimes because we have Rachel, who is a member of Snape cast.
Yes.
Who kind of just steers us in that direction. So, it's fun. I mean, we're doing our house cup competition. Everyone's been divided into houses, and we compete for points for the end. Like, I think it ends in May, and it's our house cup. So.
Awesome. Good. Well, it sounds like you guys are just, y'all have, like, the cream of the crop party planned for everybody for the opening. I can't wait to see the pictures. You are going to take pictures and put them on Leaky's wonderful image gallery, aren't you?
Of course. I have a friend, RJ, who's, like, a professional photographer, and he's already, like, agreed to take pictures and video. We're going to have tons of that. We'll put it up for y'all.
Good. Good. It'll be fun to see. I know from some of the other events, one of the neatest things to come from it is looking at all the different parties and all the different people just to see what everybody did or decided to wear or, you know, how funny people look, you know, as they're reading the book.
This is the last book. We just have to do it up big, I think. I've always wanted to do something like this.
So when you get the book, are you going to...
I think I'm going to, like, lock myself away in some sort of hotel room, turn off all the phones, and just, like, read.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm going to do that, too. And if I have any spoilers that come my way on the Leaky Lounge, I'm going to, you know, scream, because that happened with me in Half-Blood Prince, and I was so distraught for weeks. Poor Sue. And Sue had to console me when I found out Dumbledore died. I cried for, like, two hours.
Me too. I needed, like, grief counseling when I was done. So that's why I'm kind of upset. I'm, like, I'm kind of worried about the phone line she has set up. I'm like, oh, wow. Because I really, like, can barely handle Dumbledore.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I keep thinking... At some point, you know, I'm going to come to a conclusion of what I think is going to happen at the end. But, you know, I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things. When the title came out, I thought, oh, I can see this happening now. And then I thought, no, maybe not. And so I keep going back and forth. I think that Snape is good, though. So there you go. We disagree on that one.
It's just such, I don't know, for me it's a very vague title. I'm just like, oh, wow, okay, Hallows, but what kind of word is Hallows? So it's very, I don't know, very, like, evasive for me, I guess.
Yeah, I'm waiting for chapter titles. Now that we know how many pages, we need chapter titles to kind of give us a little more information. But, well, Jasmine, thank you for telling us about Perfectus 7. Oh, and I have to tell you guys, Jasmine just told me this. Perfectus is the Latin word for finished. That is such an awesome awesome way to name your event. I love that.
Thank you.
That's very cool. Did you come up with that yourself?
I did. I was like, I need a kind of Latin Harry Potter kind of esque word. And I was just typing in. I was like, what about finished? And then there it was. I was like, that's perfect.
Yes. Perfectus 7. I love it. And that is the Houston Harry Potter meetup. It's going to be a huge, huge party starting at 8 p.m. And the night before, 8 p.m. Central Time, by the way, the night before the book comes out, and it's at the Houston Children's Museum, which is just one of the most incredible museums in all of the world. But because it's in Houston, it has to be, because everything in Houston is awesome.
And I guess for more information, they can go to myspace.com/perfectus2007. And perfectus is just the word perfect and us on the end.
Awesome. Great. Thanks a lot, Jasmine.
Thank you.
And hi to everybody in the Houston Harry Potter meetup. Hopefully I'll get to come to a meeting soon and see you guys.
We'd love to have you.
Great. Thanks a lot. Bye, everybody.
All right, Garth, first of all, overall, I mean, you watch a lot of trailers. This is StarCrunch, StarHorizons.com. It's movies are his life, every movie. So he gets the good and he gets the bad. Where does this trailer rank?
And believe me, there's plenty of bad.
What?
Yeah.
Where does this trailer rank on your
scale? But not with Harry Potter, yeah. The U.S. trailer?
Yeah, the new one.
Mm-hmm. Stands as the best trailer of this year, without question.
No kidding.
The only one that even came close was probably the Pirates of the Caribbean trailer.
What about the Spider-Man?
Really?
No.
Wow.
No. Because it was also Spider-Man diluted itself because it had about six different trailers.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They kind of, you know, it sort of wore out. They blended
well,
together.
Well, when they put Venom in it, it kind of ruined it for me. But, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That Pirates of the Caribbean was pretty fabulous, too, with that shot of them going over the end of the world was pretty dramatic. I don't know.
Because also there was nothing else from it at the time, that there'd been no materials that had come out. That was the first glimpse at it, and it surprised a lot of people. Whereas with this one, the teaser was a good teaser, but it was mostly for fans. This was the first time they had a trailer, which is like, wow, this can really compete against anything else. It'll flatten everything else.
Wow, that's a good point. Wow.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It was such a huge shock and reminder watching it of how many huge things happen in this film. Huge. The Dumbledore escape scene. Did you see that?
Gorgeous.
That's my favorite in the whole darn thing. And the whole book. Beautiful. And did you see the stellar performance from Dawlish in there, too?
Yep. Standing there like a champ.
He was moving so fast, he was like invisible. You could hardly see him. No, I'm warning you, WB. If you cut him out of that scene, I'm going to organize all kinds of movements against you. Online petitions. Yes. We'll sell t-shirts. We'll give out buttons and flyers. That will be famous.
Okay.
John.
Thank you.
I love you.
So, seriously, I'm really glad to hear from Garth that he thinks this is the best trailer of the year, because I thought, you know, we felt that way, and you feel like maybe it's just because we're fans, but it really does seem to stand up to others.
No, it surprised a lot of people, because I do a lot of reading of other sites, people in the same field. And there's like a lot of people were commenting on the trailer, and they were shocked.
Really?
Even the people who were saying they were not huge Harry Potter fans, who were like, my God, I totally have to see this now.
Yeah. Well, I thought the music was so good, too. I mean, and moving, the pacing, from that point of view, I just thought, wow, they've really stepped it up.
Oh, it was beautifully edited together. But I think one thing that certainly shocked me was David Yates, is because he's known for doing these small political dramas. And so I knew all the talking scenes would be great. It was the big action scenes I was wondering about, and he nailed it perfectly.
Oh, I get chills just thinking about Voldemort with his arms outstretched and all the glass around him. And
all the glass.
Oh, my God, that's so cool.
I can't even think of it. I get verklempt.
Bellatrix scurrying back into the green fire, that just, wow.
Yeah.
Her fluing out of the ministry or fluing into the ministry, whatever she's doing.
Awesome.
Oh, mind-boggling. So what are
and people's from Azkaban, finally, yay.
Yeah, we can talk about it now.
Azkaban's huge.
Azkaban is, but did you see that it got blasted with a hole in the side? It was a gigantic hole, and she was the only person in front of it?
Yeah.
Wait, they blasted away like a quarter of the prison, and it's only Bellatrix. Yeah.
Well, I saw.
I don't know, but there was a shot. It was this big gap at the top, and there was like three or four people flying around it.
Oh, there were. I
didn't
see the three
or four people. Those were Dementors, weren't they?
The guards.
Yeah, I think it was the Dementors. Yeah.
Probably. Okay, talk about gross though. Did you see that picture of her looking all mad and crazy and lunatic in prison? The shot of Bella.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, damn.
With the bad teeth in there.
Oh my goodness.
But that gave me the. Didn't it give you the chills when you saw that? It made me do. I just went, yeah. Wow.
That after like 14 years, this is still what she's like in there.
Now, when that shot of Bellatrix throwing the spell, the big green lining and everything came on, I thought, Sue is going to love this.
Yeah, well, you know, she just looked like, right there, I saw her madness and her evil and her power, you know? Because Bellatrix, as insane as she is, she's one powerful witch. And that was a really cool spell of her just, she kind of looked like a little bit of that hair, though, still reminds me of the chick from Adam's Family, but, or the Munsters, whatever.
The Bride of Frankenstein, yeah. Kind of thing, yeah.
But I just thought she just looked dramatic, you know? But then, there's somebody else who made his appearance in this trailer, and I was very happy.
All three frames of him.
No, yes. Lucius.
Three frames.
There he was. I didn't care, but he looked bad. Did you look? If you look at our, we have these fabulous high res cells, and look at it. It looks like he has a sword, man. I was like, you're going to do battle. And I know it's his cane. He's got it, whatever, but it just looks like a.
Yes, that shot of Lucius and Bellatrix together in the out in the corridor.
Maybe it's like his cane can, like, whip out a sword out of it, too. Like, it can pull his wand and it can pull a sword. It's like a magical.
Well, he did hint to us in London that there was some kind of special cane thing happening in the.
Well, maybe that's it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's some, yeah, like he has some kind of idea like about, you know, maybe I could do this. And they're like, you know, that actually is pretty cool.
Because look at him. Doesn't it look at the way he's gripping that thing? It just looks like a sword to me, you know? Like, I mean, if, whether it was he stole this, swiped that from when he was Captain Hook, whatever, but he just looks fat. And you can see the leather, and I'm like, oh, baby, on all those proxy gloves.
Sue's going to go to a quiet room and relax for a few minutes and then rejoin us when she's ready.
Sorry. I'll be good. Okay, let's talk about the proxy gloves around there, Melissa. Look at all those things.
We can get the
kids around. I'm done. I'll be good.
Yeah. Talk about prophecy. Did you see them raining down like raindrops? Just so many.
How many
prophecies get made?
Well, you got to think there's how many people in the world can do divination and could do prophecies. And
like 10.
What is the process of which the ministry obtains the prophecies?
I think this is
probably... There are a lot of anti-globes on standby.
Yeah, it's like a room, like a little conveyor belt.
They probably set something up, some archaic magic. Set it up that when there is a prophecy, a true one made,
gets captured. The book that McGonagall has that automatically appears with the people's names that are magical when they're born.
Yeah.
So 11 years later, they can be contacted. We do know of magic that happens automatically without assistance.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the whole
what about
point.
The
what?
What's happening?
The wizard fountain.
He's not even connected to the rest of them, is he?
That's a little strange.
Well, there's
to me.
Two separate fountains. Yeah.
Maybe they did that to show how the ministry favors the wizards over him. Because in one frame of a scene, you might not get it, whereas you can describe it in a book. But if you take him out and make him bigger and make him more imposing, it's more visible to one shot.
Well,
that it's wizards and everybody else.
We know that.
Well, he's noticeably bigger than the creatures.
We know that he wasn't actually built on set.
I remember
hearing that because you know he wasn't there when he was getting put together, and they said that he was.
Yeah, they just had the bases. They CG'd it in Atlanta.
Yeah, he's going to be all CG, which is cool. And I think it looks like he's floating almost, but maybe I just didn't see it that frame it.
He looks like a statue of a dictator.
He reminded me of Marx.
He looks like one of
Lenin, you know.
Yeah,
that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of creepy.
You know, that was awesome to have those memos come flying in, you know.
Lennon with a hat. Huh?
I mean, I just thought that was hilarious. But I still have issues with the scale. John and I were talking about this, but it just looks
I don't get this yet.
Issues with the scale?
Yeah, well, but there's the offices in the window, the front, you know, and then you can see that maybe it's just my perspective thrown off, like, by the giant wizard that you were all talking about,
Well, no, we know they copied additional offices in there to make the ministry just look massive.
Yeah.
And it's in the background, and it just looks like it's the people are, the offices are too big to be as far in the background as.
All right. Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
As they should be.
Yes. Thank you. That's. I just thought. Well, maybe it's me. I don't know. But it just didn't look like it was right.
I'm looking at it now.
You see what I'm saying? The first.
No, it's so funny. There's this big giant male wizard, but the female wizard is a lot smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. I didn't know this was also a sexist. Well, you know, I'm not surprised, but.
Maybe he's a giant.
But it's,
I guess they look a little strange, but
yeah. But were they?
It's meant to reflect like most ministries. I guess it's a statement, a political statement in many ways, because just the sheer size of bureaucracy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I almost want to say that they look, the ones right next to the statue on the left look like they're too small.
Yeah.
Like how far away are we supposed to assume that is by how much in
but
focus
they're supposed
there?
To be small. It's the whole idea of small little cubbyholes.
Yeah, right.
The people, offices. The people aren't 3 feet tall either, unless
yeah.
that's like the Munchkin
no,
offices.
Fine.
Yeah, exactly right, John. It is.
Is this where all the goblins work or something? Or
they have normal height.
5 feet tall ceiling.
Yeah, but look at the size of the windows, though. I mean, you can see the man,
yeah.
the head, his feet at the base of the wizard, and then go to those, and there's sets of three. It just they put like too many rows in to make them small. I agree with you, John. It just looks.
Something just looks off. It's something you can't explain. It just looks off.
Okay. I just thought maybe.
I'm not too broken up about it.
Well, I know.
This is one of those things that's supposed to be just glimpsed rather than studied very carefully.
Yeah.
So.
You don't have a
we're studiers.
Yeah.
Yes.
that's fandom, all right.
So let me ask you this question.
Yeah, well, you watched the film like Gladiator or something, and did you really get worried that there were too many crowds?
No.
Far distance of those dome shots?
Nah.
Good point. Good point.
Don't get me started on Gladiator.
But I forgot what y'all were talking. Did you say you saw the statues when you were there at the set?
No, there were no statues.
They were just
the space.
Getting
the
them in. But yeah, we saw set pictures. I forget. Didn't they come out set pictures of the statues?
That is sketch, I think, the small one, not
yeah.
the big one.
Peculiar.
Well, other favorite moments in this trailer. I have to say, Dumbledore coming into the ministry with his hair kind of like blown back, looking all
yeah.
bad, Voldemort waiting with his wand resting on his hand, like that urgency that you know that the two of them are about to battle. Oh my gosh.
He drops from the sky.
Amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Just the hugeness of it. It reminds me of when I read the book and I was like, oh my god, Voldemort and Dumbledore are fighting.
Finally.
You know? Finally.
It was also, it's especially surprising considering the book all over is one of the smaller books in terms of just scope. It's just the battle and the political stuff at the school. And yet they made it look so epic.
Yeah.
You know, it's true. They did make this all seem a lot bigger than it was in my head. I mean, I guess that's what they did.
Well, I don't know why they had to make the battle leave the ministry. Like we were hearing about when they get on their brooms and start flying back towards Hogwarts and shooting off spells at each other. I don't know if that was really necessary to extend the battle that much. I would have been fine if it stayed all in the ministry, but...
John...
To have them flying and fighting?
No,
that's too much.
Wrong. That's also wrong.
No.
They don't leave the ministry.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's all in the ministry. It's still accurate to the book.
It's all in the ministry.
You can see the waterfalls there.
I had an email of someone saying that,
Can I ask you?
Because you can see when Voldemort is speaking to Harry and he says, you will lose everything, you can see that all the windows behind him are blown out. So it's after the big fight.
Right.
And he's apparently got a quiet moment with Harry and he's going to taunt him. you know?
Creepy.
Speaking of the battle.
You seriously got an email like that?
Well, even that tunnel shot at the beginning was is a lot different than I expected.
Oh, from the door?
There's somebody messing with me.
Yeah.
The door, but it's like it's this tunnel because the floor is completely reflective. It's this weird tube kind of effect.
Well, now I'm curious at what point Voldemort says that line to Harry when they have this quiet moment. If the windows are already blown out, then where did Dumbledore go?
Maybe it looked like he was going, because I think this also happens in the book, it looked like Voldemort was going to win. It looked like Dumbledore had been, you know, put off and Voldemort was going to win, but then Voldemort tries to occupy Harry and he can't because of his soul.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
So there could be this moment in between the big fight where it looks like Voldemort's going to win, mm-hmm. and, you know.
I thought it ended when Dumbledore put Voldemort in that water shell and then he disappeared and the water all fell and we thought he killed Voldemort and then Voldemort appears inside
Harry. That's when it ended. But who knows what they did in the movie, honestly.
Yeah.
They'll probably just make it, a cliffhanger situation for Harry so they can... And then Dumbledore will save the day.
I just have a hard time imagining Dumbledore giving Voldemort some talking time with Harry. Just going to let him stand there and watch him.
I'm pretty sure he won't just let him do it.
Well, then where is Dumbledore?
John, obviously he's somewhere.
Yeah, hands in his pockets.
Obviously, he's not able to answer.
Yeah. Mm.
What do you think? Do you think that they would notice that Dumbledore would be standing there watching?
No.
What do you mean, no?
I don't think Dumbledore...
Harry even notes that Dumbledore's scared.
Yeah.
Up until the point where Voldemort possesses Harry, Dumbledore is in control of that.
No, otherwise Harry wouldn't have had time to note that Dumbledore was scared.
I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about during the whole battle, before Harry gets possessed, Dumbledore was owning Voldemort.
And when Harry gets possessed, that's not when he says that Dumbledore was scared. Therefore, at some other point during the battle... Mm-hmm.
Are you positive?
Yes. How would I forget something like Harry saying that for the first time he felt like Dumbledore looked scared? How could I possibly...
Yeah, and that's when Dumbledore or Voldemort disappeared. And then he Dumbledore looks scared, and then he possesses Harry.
But so, therefore, he's not in control the whole time.
Well, until he disappears and then possesses Harry. That's what I said.
John.
Yeah, the line here. You're right, Melissa.
You're not making any coherent point. Like,
he says it. You're right, Melissa. He does say it. For the first time, Dumbledore sounded frightened. Harry could not see why.
Where was Voldemort? It's not right.
But who cares? You're arguing that
We won't know until...
I know. He's like... You're arguing that outside of the moment that Voldemort possessed Harry, Dumbledore was in control the whole time. Obviously not, because Harry says that Dumbledore is scared, and that's not when Voldemort's possessing him, so you're wrong.
Yeah, but it's when Voldemort is gone Dumbledore looks scared, because he doesn't know what's happening.
He's in control the whole time, except when Voldemort's gone, and except when he possesses...
Yes.
I mean, he's not in control the whole time. That's a true statement. He's not in control the whole time. If he was in control the whole time, Voldemort would have been vanquished. If he was in control at all, Voldemort would have been vanquished.
You're going to make me write this out.
2,000 words.
I'm not confused. Our listeners by John Dewey 10,000 times.
John... John, these smart filmmakers would not create a film in which Dumbledore was sitting there twiddling his thumbs while Voldemort and Harry chatted. Obviously,
that's why I'm trying to figure out when
this
happened. Because Dumbledore was never incapacitated.
We don't know. We won't know until it is.
Well, I know. I'm just trying to use book logic to figure it out.
But this is a movie.
You can use the book logic to guess.
Well, like we said at the beginning of all this, in the back, you can see all the windows are blown out. So he and Dumbledore have already had the big fight. The image of Voldemort speaking to Harry, all the windows are broken already. So the big fight has occurred.
Yeah.
We don't even know if he's speaking to Harry. Because he says Harry Potter while the logo is on. And then he says, you will lose. That he could be saying Harry Potter in a different time of the film. Mm-hmm. And they've just cut it together to look like it's the same line.
That's a good point. All right, can we change the subject about something else? Because I'm confused. One thing I'm lost on is what...
Well, can I ask, why does Umbridge look like my grandmother?
Wow, Garth.
Your grandma's going to send you emails now for that. Good job.
Your grandma, I'm going to come on the show and make fun of you. Does she wear a pink cardigan, though, with a little cat, a little brooch on her? Mm-hmm.
Not pink, but otherwise, it's that little, the number she says when she says, this was a lie, that is her to a T. Otherwise, I think it's maybe blue rather than pink, but otherwise, it's the same woman.
Whoa.
She doesn't make you write lines, did she, when you were a bad little Garth? No.
No, thank God.
bad. Oh. Well, I'm still stumped by the DA kind of doing the, like, I don't know, Matrix kind of flinging in the midair, kind of hovering over the ground shot.
When they stopped hovering? Yeah, what is that? Are they in the space room? Is that what this is?
The what now?
That's the room with the mirror, I think.
You think? With the mirror?
Yeah.
The veil.
The veil, sorry. Because we saw some of that on the set. I was shooting some of that. That looked like that set.
Like dirt, right?
So my guess is that's from the ballroom sometime.
So can they not touch the ground? Like, how does this...
Yeah. Oh. It was a dirt floor. Oh.
So how come they didn't touch the ground? You see this? And then they have to, get to the veil at some point.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Wow. It's very Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
They sort of deliberately try to avoid the ground from the looks of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like something stops them.
We saw one of the first publicity stills that got released in the last couple of weeks. There was a shot of them in the room with that significant blue line. And that was that room, I'm pretty sure, because it was that weird blue lighting which we saw when we were shooting it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know why they'd have to be all matrixy. I don't get it, but hey. Other
it's
things,
Warner Brothers. Come on.
Yeah, no, seriously. Other things in the trailer, Harry's speech to the PA.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
All great wizards in the world started out as nothing more than what we are now. If they can do it, why not us?
People were making a deal about like the people that they showed.
Yeah, I did.
During that speech, and they showed Snape. They're like, "Oh, Snape's one of the good guys." It was like, didn't they show Voldemort second?
Yeah, they did. They showed
people.
They did show
forget
Voldemort.
That part. Well, they're like, "Well, they said great wizards."
Right. I made a big deal because it was neat that Snape is a great wizard, and I think people forget that he's very powerful. So I thought it was cool.
Well, great in the meanings of powerful, great as in like good.
No, great as in the meaning of powerful.
Powerful.
I mean, he's a very skilled, powerful wizard.
Yeah.
You know?
And so some people, I think, were using it like, you know, for trying to use the trailer as grounds to say Snape is one of the good guys.
Oh, I see.
Be like, they said he was a great wizard, and there was Snape, and then...
Okay, they're going to spoil book 7 in the trailer for movie 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
like, you know,
sure.
Editors get a letter from Christopher Little. You ruined
it. Some people could say, you know, the poor kid that got
that's what he deserves. That's what he deserves.
But that's love, of course.
How does that kick into the DA?
Punky Brewster is in there because they think that the movie's not going to appeal to the little kids anymore because they've all grown up so much. So they got to put in the little guy to, you know, make sure that the 10-year-olds still have a good time with the movie.
You know,
give me a break.
Somewhere Salil Moon Frye is preparing a lawsuit.
Salil Moon Frye in the DA.
You know, and you're right. My little boy did laugh at that part. I hate to admit it, but it's true.
Exactly. Oh, that's what it's there for. Like, the kids my age are still in the DA.
And the slapstick comedy of somebody falling on his head, you know?
I know, exactly. Just a little punching bag.
But, you know, the part that bothered me, maybe it's Wingardium Leviosa. I don't know if that's an EA spell or a real spell. But I thought, isn't that Levacorpsis? Don't we learn that in Half-Blood Prince? I don't know. That's a minor point.
No, Levacorpsis is when Levacorpsis. No, Levacorpsis is when you're, isn't that the one that you get upside down by your toes? That one?
Oh, is that what James did to, James did to Snape then?
It's Levacorpsis. Okay. No, it can't be. Is it Levacorpsis?
No, I forget what that spell is. I just thought that this was
I think so, because Mobilicorpsis is the one when they moved him.
Oh. Okay, I just thought I'm confused. See, I'm not the one to ask. I guess I should look it up first. Sorry.
I believe it's Levacorpsis, but hey, I could be wrong.
No, you're probably right.
Hey, so we saw the Thestrals, and it turns out Luna doesn't ride side saddle on the Thestrals.
Was that ever a rumor?
She's a little cowgirl.
She's not riding side saddle. She does. She rides side saddle in the book. It's one of her great moments, but everybody's like all freaked out getting on these crazy, weird, white-eyed horses, and she just sits on a saintly side.
You know what? Listen, that's a good thing.
But I understand why it looks silly.
I'd forgotten that. That's right. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You'd think Ivana would be all up in arms about that.
That's what she does. I know. She hasn't said anything about it.
Actually, I ride it this way. And the effects guy is like, no, you do it this way because we're only insured for you to ride the rig this way. And if you don't, we could get in trouble. Like this grumpy old guy.
Yeah, it might look a little silly in the film. Yeah. I understand.
And what do you think of the Dumbledore and Voldemort fight, which has the same dripping white magic goo effect from the last film?
Yeah, looking like it's like Priori Incantatum a bit, right?
Yeah, yeah, it has that same effect. I'm wondering why that decision was made. It was interesting. Yeah.
Hmm. It's very electrocution style fighting. It's very
running out of filters.
That's right. They don't have enough money for a photo filter. But there's that one shot of them standing like across the hall from each other and just blasting each other. Yeah. Ugh.
And they're doing a lot of wandless magic too, which is awesome. I love.
You see Harry just cowering in the back?
Harry's all like, Expelliarmus, Expelliarmus. That's all I know how to do.
They did get an Expelliarmus in the international trailer, John.
What's that?
Did you see that? There was an Expelliarmus in the international trailer.
There was. And Expecto Patronum.
John Stingard.
Expelliarmus is everywhere these days. It was on Doctor Who the other week.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. Was it really?
Yes. That's how he saved the day. Awesome. David Tennant saved the day.
Expelliarmus?
Yeah, seriously. He really did.
They did the reference where he goes, you know, wait till you read book 7.
Yeah.
I cry.
We have a little clip of that on our site, Melly. We have it. Had the video.
Of course we do. I shouldn't even question. These guys are amazing. They see it. They get it right into the calories.
Awesome.
It looked awesome. I mean, yeah, I saw the Expelliarmus, and I just thought, oh, yeah. John.
It's like,
John's thing is that Expelliarmus is the only spell Harry knows.
It's the only one he's comfortable with. It's like, he'll be in the DA, and he'll be like, this is how to do stupefies, this is how to do this and that. But, you know, when you're in the face of danger, and death is staring you right in the face, the only one that'll come to your lips is Expelliarmus. And you know what? It'll usually get you off, so...
usually help you out. Yeah. All you need is Expelliarmus.
Don't worry.
There's also a shot of the Mirror of Erised in this trailer.
There was.
Very, very quick.
And at first I thought it was one of those flashbacky things, because they have clips from, you know, Sorcerer's Stone in here. But no, it's grown-up Harry looking in on the room, which is so curious.
Sounds like it's a dream or a vision, you know?
Well, one other thing that was noticing was the shot with the Dementor where he throws the spell at the Dementor. The actual spell effect, if you go slowly, it sort of outpaces his wand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does what?
Probably comes up from behind him.
Oh, yeah.
From behind him, it goes like through his wand.
Well, there was a part in the book where there were two Dementors. And he sent out the curse the first time, not the curse, the thing, the spell the first time, and then he directs it with his wand. He says, no, go over there. There's another one.
I don't even think with his wand. He just said, go get that one, and he directs it, and Prongs listens to him, which is sort of cool.
Yeah. It makes you wonder just how responsive Prongs can be, like have like a chat.
Looks like we're going to see him in book 7, too.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised by the Dementor attack in the alley, because I thought, you know, when you read the book, you think you're picturing this quiet little English neighborhood alley, and it looks like something out of East London. Just
seriously, it really does.
Where's the junkie shooting up in the corner? Where's that's the kind of.
And Dudley looks like he's in a football gang. And you know, and he's laying on the floor in the trailer too. He's laying flat on the floor, and the Dementor is hovering right over him.
I wonder if we'll ever find out what he is so screaming about. Do we know? If we'll find that out in book 7. What?
Joe has implied that we would.
And
the
curious thing is, you know, how when Harry sees, you know, mentors, you know, Azkaban, we hear, like, Harry! Like, really loud. And, like his mom's voice. Like, are we going to hear what Dudley is hearing if they, you know, give us a shot of Dudley reacting to the Dementors?
I don't know.
Would it be accurate to the actual fear?
I don't think so. They're not going to spoil...
Well, if it's a big reveal, probably not. But if it's just a little bonus extra thing, then
I guess
kind of like we find out what, you know, some of the DAs, Patronuses are that we never actually found out in the book. But
we saw an international trailer of Lunas.
Exactly, but we didn't know it in the book. Yeah. But we're to assume that it's accurate because that's a detail that they would have had corroborated. Mm,
true.
Yeah, definitely. Hers is the hair. I don't think the one that we saw in the trailer was actually hers. I could be wrong.
Oh, really?
So my imagination was that shot they have of Umbridge casting a spell, and you see it from the perspective of the person getting struck by it. We haven't seen that before.
Where is that?
Which spell was
it?
There's a quick shot of Umbridge, and you see the spell being thrown directly at the screen.
Oh, it's like through a keyhole.
Right. And the Inquisitional Squad, or when how do you say that word?
Inquisitorial
Squad, yes. Thank you. Is standing behind her, so you can see, like, Vint Crabbe and Goyle and Malfoy in them.
And a boy Krabs.
There he is. And Filch, which is something.
Filch is doing his thing. He's ready to poise to take over Hogwarts and Deathly Hallows.
It's awesome. But I'm just
the big question is, which trailer do you prefer?
Oh, gosh.
U.S.
Yeah, I agree.
I would have to say the International.
Why?
Because I like to be different.
No, I don't know.
Thought that would be your answer. I was pretty sure.
No, I like them both. You know, it's too tough. I like
they're very close.
Domestic one. How they try to bring in other parts of the other.
The international
movies.
One seems more tailor made for fans, whereas the domestic one seems a bit more of a general audience.
Yeah.
Panel.
The domestic one seems to understand that it has a couple of huge blockbusters to compete
pretty
with
much,
this summer.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, well, that's gotten a little easier now.
You know what? One big effect I don't think we've seen yet, actually. You know, we saw a little bit of Grop, but we have not seen anything of Mr. Creature. Just, like, interesting that they're saving him and, like, you know, Dawlish, obviously. And
obviously,
we haven't seen much of Tonks, so.
Well,
we haven't seen almost anything.
We got a shot of Tonks, though, on the Order. There's a very cool shot I like, is the broom with the Order is on Privet Drive, and they're summoning the brooms. And if you look at the still of that, you can see her down towards the end by, I'm not sure who the other two are, Hestia Jones, maybe, and Dingle, I think. I don't know.
But did you notice there wasn't a single shot of the house? The Order's
house? Grimald Place, you're right.
Yeah, it's true.
That surprised me. Like, wow,
it's funny because the first that we've actually seen of some of the Grimald Place stuff is in the video game trailer that we shouldn't neglect in the show because that was very cool. And the cool thing that we see in that trailer, I don't know how many people realized it, but because they did put it in their trailer, we should probably point it out that the tapestry is in the trailer when Sirius and Harry are talking. Mm-hmm. And some people, at least I expected the tapestry to just be, a poster size or something, but it takes up the whole wall and around the corner. Yeah. So it takes up the whole background of their shot. So if you look and you see it there, that's the tapestry. And there's also a shot of them inside their bedroom in Grimald Place, too. And it's interesting that we haven't really seen much of Grimald Place at all, like you're right, Garth, in these trailers.
Well, and Lupin.
I'm just paging.
Lupin is very. We just saw our one shot of him, right? Is that our first one?
Yeah, when they're talking about the Great Wizards.
Yeah,
just quick. But did you notice in that shot with the Great Wizards, the shot of Black? Yeah. What's going on behind him?
Veil.
Ooh, I don't know.
It's like this weird, the weird swooping effect in his eyes.
Yeah, well, I'm impressed that they're showing. Obviously, it's their own accord to do this, but to have the restraint to not overly do all these, like, mushy, serious shots. Like, something could happen to him. I don't know. I'm not going to spoil anything. But they're not doing any, over-the-top moments with Sirius so far.
We've heard there will be some, though.
Yeah, but they're not showing them, in the trailer at any rate.
I'm just looking at these high-res art, and I'm just from, the actual stills. I'm so glad we have these high-res trailers now, because when we take the screen grabs, they can be so beautiful, these shots. Yeah. And some of them are just astounding. All the prophecies, the visual, the color palette on this seems different. Am I right, Garth?
On the high-res ones?
On the whole film, the trailer, everything.
The high-res stuff is normal trailers when they're played on QuickTime and so forth. The high-res versions that they've brought out in the last 6 months, which is what you'll get on the high-definition DVDs, the Blu-rays, that kind of thing. The color scheme is different. It's much more clearer, much more like natural colors.
It's beautiful. It's just a little bluer, I think. It's a little...
There's a bluer tinge to it.
Yeah. I'm looking at the shot of Azkaban, and that's definitely Dementors swarming around. But it's like somebody chomped a hole on the top of the...
I think it's cool because it makes it look like an A.
It does.
Like more so now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
But also, like I said, a lot of the ministry scenes are lit with blue lighting, so that's, of course, one of the reasons why it looks blue.
Yeah.
And one of the things we were debating before we started the cast was the fact that when we visited the set, all the bricks were green, but with the blue lighting, obviously cancels out the green element in the bricks, which makes them look black.
Very cool.
Well, there's one thing that I still can't get over is freaky Voldemort with it breathing that ball of fire into the basilisk thing.
That's so cool.
I know. He's a circus performer.
Freaking Voldemort everywhere.
No, but I mean,
he's just appearing everywhere,
just
.
Dramatic as anything. I mean,
yeah.
Not expecting that one.
But we really get to see him in, like, full power mode like this, which I think is really cool.
It's going to be so sweet.
So rad. Okay. We are getting long here, guys.
I have one question I want to ask Garth. Do you think... As you've seen so many trailers, and I know that we're fanatics and we know what the book and everything, but do you think that the normal fan or the normal moviegoer will be persuaded or feel like they've seen too much from this last trailer? Because I heard that.
No, it's actually been very restrained, which is a great thing. They've had this trailer, the teaser trailer, that's it, which is exactly how it should be done. One of the problems with Spider-Man 3 that people are encountering is that the trailers have spoiled everything because there's been so many of them. There's been 4 or 5 trailers easily, along with a lot of TV spots. They've done it just right so far.
Yeah.
Very awesome.
Especially considering it doesn't have any competition for the 2 weeks before and after it's out.
Really?
So it also, it's literally, there's maybe Transformers 2 weeks before and then the Simpsons movie 2 weeks later, but other than that, there's nothing
Simpsons
else.
Is going to be great, too.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, well, I think that it's time that we get the drums in here. It's time for our drumicle. Well, Garth, thank you so much for your expert analysis of the Harry Potter Order of the Phoenix trailer.
Thank you for having me. Please make sure that John is alive next time. After the fight you two got into, I'm sorry.
John and I fight all the time.
That's a daily occurrence. That's just not usually recorded.
No, but we love having you around. We're going to have a lot of great stuff coming up here on Pottercast, a couple of big announcements coming. Phoenix Rising, just keep an eye on Pottercast.com. We'll put up some fun videos and video blogs and stuff like that in the coming weeks. It's going to be a great summer.
And don't forget to check out some more of Garth's coverage of this and other awesome movies coming out this summer at DarkHorizons.com.
Read it every day.
Thanks.
All right, so my little blog lines. I do that every day. It's right there. Click.
Do we have anything else to blab about before we head out of here? Is this be the shortest wrap-up ever?
No.
So the summer, I think we've mentioned that the premieres were announced. Did I forget that?
The premieres July 3rd and July 8th in Los Angeles. Warner Brothers is trying to kill us.
Thank you.
Yes.
As if the summer couldn't get crazier, we're going to be probably flying from, London to Los Angeles.
Now we're not trying to do anything fun for any of those premieres, are we?
There might be some emails going around.
We're not trying to organize some sort of group effort with some of our other friends, perhaps, in a podcast format.
I don't want to confirm or deny, John. A professional doesn't confirm or deny before the information is real.
I certainly don't think we should confirm or deny anything, any talk.
Okay.
Let's not even confirm the conversation.
Especially for people who, are traveling into town and are going to wonder what they're going to do once all the actors are inside watching the movie.
Exactly.
I don't want to confirm or deny to them that something fun could happen, because what if it doesn't? They'll be so disappointed.
It would be sad.
It'd be sad.
Yeah, it'd be sad pandas.
It'd be awful.
So there you go. Don't. We're not doing anything yet.
Yeah.
Just sit tight.
Hang tight. And whatever you do, do not email about it.
Okay.
But there was, what was there? There was one more thing I was going to mention.
The address is at leaky
@leaky-colton.org.
But to remind everybody that they can prove to all of their friends and family just how big of a Harry Potter master they are when they predict what will happen in the seventh book at PH exam. Or what was it? The fun little address? Take our big Deathly Hallows exam.
DH quiz. DH exam? DH quiz?
I think it's something.
LeakyNews.com/DH quiz,
yeah.
I think. Try that. If it doesn't work, do DH exam.
And otherwise, check the show notes.
Check the show notes, exactly. I also wanted to thank you guys, since I asked for information on it for my book, you guys have come through in fine style. The emails that I'm getting from you, I've spent most of this week trying to go through them all. There was one about a boy named Cody, and I have to give the person's email address was wrong because they used our the contact form, and they entered their email address wrong, and I tried to email you back, and you didn't obviously get it. So if you hear this now, please email me again, melissa@thegeek-cauldron.org, and that's about the youngster named Cody. And yeah, thank you. Bring them on. Your Harry Potter stories, I want them.
Yeah, and I have been hearing you guys have been enjoying some of the fan reaction segments we've had on the past few shows. Let's ask another fun question this week for all of you who have managed to download your fancy programs and have been recording nice, clean audio files of yourself talking to us. Let's hear about what you thought of this crazy trailer week and which one was your favorite and why. And you can talk to us about the domestic, international, or even the video game trailer if you'd like. And we will air that on the next podcast.
Just go! You're wasting time!
All right. Well, then, on that note, I think it's time to get out of here.
All right.
Everyone, thanks again, Garth.
Take it easy, everybody. Thank you, Garth.
Catch you later.
W. Free.
Oh, and about time, too.
We've missed it.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you two don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.